I'm Kathy Gett. I'm the host of On the Right ADHD Trail Teleseminar. I am a certified ADHD life coach and a certified Sanity Schools for Parents trainer. I'm excited to share with you this interview I did during one of my On the Right ADHD Trail Telesummits. More information on this summit and how you can listen, please visit www.ontherightadhdtrail.com. Please enjoy. Hello, and welcome to our third annual telesummit on the Right ADHD Trail. Unfortunately, I had to take last year off due to family losses, but we're back today with 15 highly educated experts in the ADHD field. They will share their knowledge and experience with us to help you climb the pinnacle of success. We are going to fill your backpacks with some of the tools and tips that men with ADHD are challenged with on a daily basis. You will get tips on how to harness your off time, ADHD self-regulation and digital addiction awareness, finding spiritual connection despite distraction, your money, mindset, and strategy, and sex and ADHD, so much more. But first, let me introduce myself. I'm Kathy Gett, owner of Gett Focus Private Coaching Service. I'm a certified ADHD life coach and a certified Sanity School for Parents trainer. You can find out more about my private practice at getfocus.com. That's spelled G-O-E-T-T focus. While working with my male clients, I realized that there was so much information and many excellent telesummits that were really geared to women, but nothing for the men. So here we are, climbing the trail for the third annual telesummit for men and their loved ones. I realize how busy your lives are. You just may not have the time to sit down for many hours to listen to this telesummit packed full of information. Well, I have a solution for you. Simply upgrade to On the Right ADHD Trail Backpack. For only $85, you get extended digital access to all the recordings on the telesummit, transcript of our audio conversation, but enough talking, let's talk to our next presenter, Ari Tuckman. Mr. Tuckman is a doctor of psychology, a certified sex therapist. He has given more than 400 presentations and routinely earns excellent reviews for his ability to make complicated information understandable and useful. He is the author of 4 books, ADHD After Dark, Better Sex Life, Better Relationships, Understand Your Brain, Get More Done, More Attention, Less Deficit, and Interrogative Treatment for Adult ADHD. His More Attention, Less Deficit podcast has more than 100 episodes and almost 3 million downloads. You need to listen to it. He is a psychologist and sex therapist in private practice in Westchester, PA, a former board member of CHAD National, and co-chair of the CHAD Conference Committee. His presentation today is Managing Your ADHD Better is Foreplay. ADHD can affect not only boring things like math homework and filing your taxes, but also fun things like your sex life. If you want a better sex life, then getting on top of your ADHD is a really good place to start. And as a bonus, your relationship in general will also improve. And the best part, it's not all on you. Your partner also has their part to play in creating that better sex life and relationship. Welcome, Ari.
Well, thanks for having me, especially to talk about this topic, which is always a fun one.
Well, what would you like to start out telling us about this?
So the goal here is let's talk about relationships and not just things like, you know, how do we not fight so much about who loaded the dishwasher or didn't, but let's talk about how to really kind of have some fun together. Obviously as adults, a lot of what we do is somehow related to work. Life shouldn't only be about work, right? We should also be enjoying ourselves. We should be enjoying each other if we're in a committed relationship. And, you know, part of that means having a good sex life, whether you've been together for a day or a century, You know, it's still important to have a good sex life. It's a part of what keeps couples together. And, you know, especially if you're in a couple that, I don't know, let's just say has a few extra struggles by day. I think it's that much more important to have a good sexual connection by night or by day if you can swing it.
That sounds great, right. Yeah, we've been married 42 years, and there are some times when there's been some struggles going on and everything, but
yeah,
it's good to know that sex is always there. That really helps a lot and everything. So why do you say that managing ADHD better is foreplay?
And this is a line I use a lot, and it's an important little nugget of an idea, which is, if you and your partner aren't getting along well with just sort of the daily demands of life, it's that much harder to get into bed together and, you know, to have the time to fool around or to have the desire to fool around, at least with your partner. And in some research that I did looking at couples with one partner who has ADHD and one partner who doesn't, I looked at what are the barriers to a better sex life. And basically they broke down into two main things. One group was about not having enough time or energy for sex. So if you're not using time well during the day, if you're not doing your share, if you're not pitching in and participating and being helpful in certain ways, then either you're not going to have enough time or energy for sex, or your partner, if they feel overburdened and too tired and like they have too much on their plate, is not going to have the time and energy for sex. Or alternatively, the second kind of group of barriers to a better sex life was really more about the desire, right? So what you don't want is a relationship where if you're the guy with ADHD, you're not managing your ADHD well, so you're not, you know, kind of stepping up and being the partner that, you know, you would like to be or that your partner would like you to be. They're then over-functioning. They're kind of on your case too much, or as is sometimes called, sort of that parent-child dynamic. And,
right,
you know, parent-child dynamic, not sexy, right? Not fun.
No, it's not sexy.
No, and it's a turnoff for both people, right? Like the guy with ADHD probably doesn't want to fool around with their spouse because, you know, like, ugh, enough already. Give me a break here. You're always on my case and it's never good enough. And their resentful, tired partner, they don't want to have sex either. So, you know, so that's a real sort of sex killer. And it's a real just sort of in general happiness in the relationship killer. So if you can manage your ADHD better, it at least takes that piece out of the equation, right? You still have all the other stuff that every couple has to finagle, but at least that part works better. And it takes some of that focus off of you and the places that you're not kind of meeting your partner's expectations, and makes it more of a discussion between two equals.
Well, did you find that in your research, you were talking about tired and everything, was that like in like the first few years of marriage when they have children and things like that they just, you know, sex was just not appealing when you were so exhausted after taking care of your home and your children and everything, whether it was the husband or the wife?
Yeah, I mean, certainly, you know, there are some stages of life that make this harder for every couple. And, you know, there's a big change going from two adults living together, you know, compared to two adults and a baby who wakes up all night. And, you know, sometimes what happens in couples is before the baby shows up and the demands go through the ceiling, you know, like, I don't know, I can hang in there. It's fine. I'll, you know, whatever. I can do a little bit more. Yeah. It's all right. And then the baby or the second baby or maybe the third baby shows up and all of a sudden it's like, look, I don't have enough room to breathe here. I can't take on anymore. And that's where more of the stress begins to show up. But, you know, this is true even for folks who have older kids or kids that are up and out or never had kids at all. So, you know, the stress of kids just adds to, it sort of multiplies what's already there.
So when you're saying managing your ADHD better is foreplay, are you saying like through medication or just getting some coaching going on? How does it make it better? What do you suggest?
Yeah. Well, I think in terms of that, I mean, I'm a psychologist. I don't write prescriptions, but I will say for ADHD, for those who need it, I'm a big proponent of medication, that it's not the solution to all of life's problems, but it, generally speaking, extended-release stimulants for ADHD are very safe. They're well tolerated in terms of side effects. They're not addictive. And they do a really good job of treating the things that they're supposed to treat, that it just kind of closes that gap between intentions and actions. It's easier to be more consistent about what you need to do if you have a little bit of the right medication on board. Now, having said that, that's not the whole story, but it's a pretty good start. So the rest of it is educating yourself about ADHD and your partner, so you both are a little bit wiser, right? Like, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. I think, you know, some therapy or coaching and, you know, therapy, individual therapy, couples therapy, whatever, finding better ways to work together, better ways to manage things in your own life, finding ways to take a bit more initiative and be a bit more sort of in charge of what happens in your life. And frankly, some of it also is figuring out where the places that my partner is asking something of me that, okay, yeah, I hate to say it, you know, like she's got one on me there, that's legit. I really do need to step up on this versus where are the places where it's like, you know what, honey, like, here's the deal. I'm not going to tell you I'm never going to be late from work because I can't guarantee it. Like, I'm not going to promise what I can't deliver. So unfortunately, and this is the shortened version, unfortunately, honey, you need to find a way to be okay with the fact that I'm not always going to be on time. I will text you when I'm late to the best that I can, but sometimes it's just going to be what it's going to be, right? So that it's not a thing where your spouse's happiness depends on you never being late, which is a setup for you to fail and them to be disappointed.
Sure. So the ADHD can really impact a couple's sex life, whether one has it or even if both of them have it. I mean, because you just really have to work together, and I guess you would say communication is one of the big things, and mindfulness, because that's what we really struggle with ADHD.
Yeah. And when we talk about communication, you know, really what we mean is productive conversation. So telling your partner that they're pissing you off and all the reasons why is very clear communication. It's not helpful, maybe. But, you know, you're communicating very clearly what it is that you're thinking. So, you know, so productive communication means both partners are able to sort of keep their head on and not get overly fired up about whatever the situation is, that they're able to stay in the conversation while being respectful, that they don't get sort of overwhelmed and anxious and bail out or shut down. That they're able to sort of take responsibility for their part of, you know what, I told you I would call before I left. I forgot to call. That's on me. Like, that is true. Like, I did indeed drop the ball on that, right? So, like, owning
the ownership,
our piece
and
of
responsibility. That. Right, yeah. The ownership of the responsibility. Yeah.
Yeah.
That can make for happy.
You know, yeah, it does. Because the thing is, every couple has problems. Every couple has things that come up that need to be addressed. The question is, what separates out the happy couples from the unhappy ones is the happier ones are better able to deal with stuff productively without a lot of hurt feelings on the other side of it and, you know, get to a better place. That's what enables those couples to continue having sex together and thereby get the benefits of having, you know, the positive feelings towards each other, the just enjoying life a bit more, of, you know, having that time together and feeling good about it. So if you want to have more sex with your partner, getting good at resolving problems productively and respectfully is a really great place to start. It's hard as hell, but it's a great place to start.
Well, what about having fun together? Isn't that also one of the things that we need to learn to do? Because we tend to think more of, oh, we got to do this, we got to do this, we got to do this, and it's work. And I think we don't always give ourselves the option or the time to have fun together because that builds that relationship and everything.
And it does. And I mean, that's the thing. You know, we're talking about sex, but it's, you know, obviously sex is within the broader context of like, we do other things, just you and me, and have fun together. And sometimes sex means intercourse, and sometimes sex means something less than that or different than that. So, but yeah, I mean, absolutely. And I think it's important to have that balance between work and play. It's an easy slide for couples where one partner has ADHD, especially if it's not well managed. And I think this is a bit more true when it breaks on gender lines, where it's the guy who has ADHD as opposed to if the woman does, but where one partner becomes all about responsibility and things that need to be done. I'll let you guess what partner that is. And the other partner becomes all about like, hey, we need to have some fun around here too. Right. And the thing is, they're both right. Like, these are absolutely both important. Now, you don't want all of one and none of the other. That's not your best, you know, mix, but having the right balance between them. And I think the risk is that the non-ADHD partner is going to say, you know, I'm fine for us to have sex more often, but I have to know that, you know, everything is taken care of first. Like, I can't relax to have sex until all the laundry is done and the kitchen is cleaned up. And, you know, we went through the kids' backpacks and dumped out all the crammed up papers in the bottom. Like, if that's the case, you'll never have sex, right? That perfect day of ultimate completion never comes. So, you know, so finding that right balance there. And I think that if you're the guy with ADHD, if you're dropping the ball all over the place, you've got no credibility to say, honey, just chill out and relax. Let's just spend some time, you and me, because she won't go for it or he won't go for it. On the other hand, if, you know, you're doing a pretty decent job, not perfect, nobody's perfect, good enough, right? And there's enough that's sort of settled and not total chaos and no giant fires burning, right? Like, if things are good enough, I think you then have some credibility to say, you know what, this is like, you and me, our relationship, our sex life is also important. And I know there's all those socks to match and all, but like, seriously, that shouldn't be more important than our relationship. So let's all take a couple deep breaths and let's walk away from the laundry and let's you and me spend some time together. Right. And that it can definitely be this sort of division of labor where one of us is more in charge of the fun and one of us is more in charge of the responsibilities. And as long as it's balanced enough and as long as the two people work well together, that's fine. It just can't get too imbalanced.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. Well, so you did some research when you wrote this book. What did you find in your research were the biggest barriers to a better sex life for couples with one ADHD partner?
I mean, really, it's about, you know, it's about that time and it's about the good feelings. And really what it boils down to is, to what extent does this couple work well together as a team? And, you know, I called the book ADHD After Dark, and I had sort of a bit of a double meaning on that. And the one meaning is, you know, it's that whole sort of like sexual reference. I think it used to be, I don't know, like back in the day when I was a kid, like Cinemax After Dark or something. And they had all these like, you know, trashy softcore movies. Right. But the other meaning behind ADHD After Dark is that, you know, ADHD is really at its worst in terms of how it affects your life and your relationship when you don't know it's ADHD and you don't know what to do to manage it more effectively. So like, you're kind of living in the dark pre-diagnosis. Okay. Once you get diagnosed, all of a sudden it's like, you know, the light comes on, you know, like the clouds part, the sunbeam shines through and the angels sing kind of thing, where all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, that's why. And this can be true really for both partners. It's like, oh, now I get it. No wonder, blah, 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 blah. And all these things that we did didn't work. Right. So just the act of diagnosis, the realization can in itself be a total game changer. But also what it offers is the ability to target your interventions a little bit better. Don't waste your time on things that won't work and instead try some of these things that are more likely to work. So, you know, this is where, you know, like this summit and you know, all the other good information, you know, by Chad and Ada and, you know, the Chad Ada ACO conference that's always in November, right? Like that's where all that stuff comes out is, you know, gathering good information, understanding each other, understanding how untreated ADHD tends to evoke certain responses in the non-ADHD partner, and how those responses tend to evoke other responses from the partner who has ADHD, and how there's a dynamic that develops between us here that isn't really either of us individually, but is what happens when things sort of spin out of control because we can't manage them more effectively. So, you know, so seeing that dynamic and understanding, okay, if I do some things differently, then you will also do some things differently. And if you do some things differently, then I'll do some things differently back. So, you know, that dynamic can cut against you and go away from you, or you can begin to turn the momentum in a better direction.
Right. And what you said, better sex life, better relationship. And it is true. I mean, we need this in our lives and everything. And you want to be able, as you age and you have this partner, you want to be able to have a good relationship and everything. Well, we're getting close to the end, and I know that you have a free bonus offering for our listeners. Could you tell us about it, what your free gift is?
Sure. So, yeah, so my free gift is, it's a chapter from my ADHD After Dark book, and the title of the chapter is Sex Makes You Into a Better, or Sex Makes You a Better Person. And the idea is, and this was really like, this was by far the hardest chapter in the book to write, to really sort of like figure this out, to wrestle it down and say something that had a bit of meat to it. So it actually like meant something and was something you could do something with, but wasn't so complicated that you couldn't really understand it. But the basic idea is that in order to keep a sex life going in a good way over the years and the decades, you have to work on the relationship. And to work on the relationship, you have to work on yourself, and your partner has to work on themselves. And that, you know, the process of going through life, of facing the challenges that the world brings, whether it's big things like the pandemic or individual things like we just had a kid, or our first kid just moved out, or our last kid moved out, or I just lost my job, or, you know, a parent passed away, or just all the challenges of life. In order to continue to work well together, in order to feel good about each other, to feel connected, to want to be generous to each other, requires us to kind of work on our stuff, right? Like to find better ways to communicate, to find better ways to negotiate, to find better ways to make promises and then hold them. And also related to that is not make promises that probably won't be held, and to hang in there and negotiate it out further. So all of that stuff, like the folks who have really good sex lives over those decades are doing a lot of other really good things well to make that happen. And so my goal for the book, and also for the work in general that I do, is, I mean, some of it's about sex, and I want people to have lots of good sex, you know, like as a general statement, but it's bigger than that. You know, and I don't want to say sex isn't important, because it is, but it's also bigger than that. It's about the relationship, and it's about the personal growth it takes to really make your sex life be a great part of your relationship.
Right, because as you get into the older years and everything, you're going to have to make sure you have a good relationship going on, because sometimes sex is not always possible in those older years and everything. So, but having this great relationship is really going to help your marriage and everything. So, well, thank you so much.
It is, because it helps you be flexible.
Yes, it really does. So if our listeners need to contact you, how would they be able to contact you?
So best place is if you go to adultadhdbook.com. I've got, you know, some sample chapters and handouts. I've got a bunch of recordings of other things I've done on the speaking page. And I have a form there that you can send me an email. And I'm generally very, very good at replying to emails. So If you don't hear back in a few days, assume some tech gremlin ate your email and send me another one.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. This is a really great interview, and I'm so glad we got to talk about ADHD after dark, better sex life, better relationship, because that is the pinnacle of keeping your marriage going or your relationships going. You've got to be able to communicate, and if you have an ADHD partner, how to work with this partner and how for the ADHD partner to work with you to get this good communication going and everything. So
exactly.
would you like to give a plug for the conferences coming up in November?
Sure. So, as we said, I'm the co-chair of the biggest ADHD conference of the year, which is sponsored by three nonprofit organizations, CHAD, ADDA, and ACO. We always do our conference like that first week in November. This year, it's going to be online again because back at the time that we were, had to sort of make that make or break decision to be in person or online, the world, the country was not at a point that we could safely say, yes, definitely in person. So we will be online Thursday, Friday, Saturday, November 4th, 5th, and 6th. I don't even know how many presenters and, peer support groups and discussion groups. There's all sorts of stuff. Even though it's an online event, we've really tried to maximize the amount of interaction. And then hopefully in a year, in November, we will be back in person, possibly in Baltimore. And whether attend this year, next year, or whenever, we hope to see you there. I think that you will learn a whole lot, not only from the amazing speakers that we have, but also from the other attendees and all the other events going on with the conference. So easiest way to get there is chadd.org. And that will get you to CHAD, and then from there you can click through the conference.
Okay. Well, I wanted you to make sure that the listeners knew about that because a lot of them didn't and everything. So, well, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed our interview today, and I think we got some good important words out to the men that listen to us and everything.
Well, keep up the good work.
All right. I will. All right. This is the end, and we will have another speaker in just a few seconds. Thank you very much for listening. Bye-bye.